Revelation chapter 7. And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Four angels standing at four corners. Because after all, there are four cardinal directions, east, west, north, south. And you can divide the earth into quadrants. You know, every map is laid out as a rectangle. And there are four angels standing on the four corners, holding back four winds. The four winds of the earth, holding the wind back. And then he sees in verse 2, I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. So these angels holding these winds are winds of destruction. It can do great damage. And the plagues in the book of Revelation are not just against humanity, but they are against the trees. You know, I've heard this verse, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, quoted out of context, like it's some sort of environmentalist propaganda from the scriptures. But it's not. The creatures in the sea are going to be killed. The trees are going to be burned down. And this is the Lord's doing. And then I believe these winds are sort of symbolizing all the things that are coming on the earth, all the things that are going to move on the earth. These angels, it is given to them to hurt. When they let go, everything's going to break loose. There's going to be a lot of suffering and destruction. You know, this is between the sixth seal and the seventh seal. So we're still in the seals. We are still receiving information. These are visionary events that John is being shown. They mean something. And what he's saying is, there's destruction coming, but he will not unleash this destruction until we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Just the normal everyday kind of trouble is with us. You know, there's earthquakes in diverse places, there's wars and rumors of wars, but the end is not yet. As Christ said, that there will be wars and famines and pestilences, but these things have to be, but the end is not immediately coming. And when you look at this notion of the angels holding back, they're holding back the winds. It is absolutely still. It puts the lie to the whole idea that we have rampant out there among so-called prophecy students. They don't dare call themselves prophets because they don't have, even though that's what they do, they don't have the guts. They're afraid. And it's not just fear, it's a sort of a false humility. Oh, I'm not a prophet. It's like, what, it's a big deal? I didn't know it was such a big deal. On whom much is given, much is expected. It's a greater burden, a greater judgment. But they're doing a prophet's work, so they're prophets. But they have this idea that, oh, the events are getting closer and closer. We're getting more earthquakes every year. We're getting more wars and more, and all this stuff is sort of culminating and it's increasing in frequency, and the sort of rising tide of events which lead up to the end. That's the way it's portrayed. But the way the Bible portrays it is as this absolute stillness, the angels restraining the wind so that there is no breeze. Because this wind represents God's activity, the activity of the end, the stuff that is prophesied that's going to come on the earth, it's being held back. The stuff that's going to, the signs of the end, like the trumpets, the events that are coming up in the next chapter, the trumpets, those events, the winds are sort of representing, I mean, because what is a trumpet? It's an instrument that you blow in and it makes a sound, right? And that's where you have the trees being burned up and the sea and all that being damaged from the events. But angels are holding back, so it's totally still. That's where we are now. We are in utter stillness. There's no breeze. It's like God isn't moving. Nothing's happening. That is where we are. As far as when it comes to this kind of stuff, you know, when you see an earthquake, the Lord is not in it. When you see a tsunami, the Lord is not in it. I mean, as far as this is not his end time thing. You know, next time you see a disaster, it's not you know, all things are of God in the universe because he created it. He set it in motion. He's responsible for all of it. But as far as this end time thing where people are looking for God to really move on the earth, it's not it. Not until the servants of God have been sealed. And then it's all going to let loose. And it's going to come suddenly. And everyone's going to know what's going on. But they won't know what to make of it. And there'll be people, you know, at midnight, the call went out, the bridegroom cometh. And those who were ready went out to meet him. But those who were not, they weren't ready. They didn't have what it took. They did not obtain that which they needed. Oh, give us of your oil. Our lamps are going out. I find it comforting. The servants of God are sealed first. It says to us, you know, we're going to interpret the 144,000 in just a second, but the idea of it's all being held back until we seal God's servants. That's a good thing. Now, what about this 144,000? 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel, the servants of God, need to be sealed. It could be very well represent 144,000 literal, natural Jews who are sealed as God's servants. You know, if you think about it, when you think of all the Jews in the world, that's not a very significant number of Jews. So it could just be Jews. I would like to think God will have more servants than that. And what about Gentiles? Are they not included in this? Are they not in this count? Or are they, or should we consider them as part of this? As the Apostle Paul says, he speaks of the Gentiles who are through faith in Christ have been grafted into the tree, which is Israel. He is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, but one inwardly, he taught. So prophetically, this might refer not only to Jews, but also to Gentiles who are reckoned Jews in the sight of God for prophetic purposes. And I could definitely buy into that. But the thing that shocks me is just how few. That's an incredibly small percentage of people. If you consider the 6 billion people in the world today, plus. It was, you know, that's back when I learned how many people there were 6 billion. I know there's a lot more now. But as I said initially, this could be just natural Jews. Well, then what about Gentile believers? Well, he's just basing the account on the number of Jews. When they're sealed, the Gentile believers would also be sealed, but they're not counted as far as in this count. Like I said, it's a prophetic passage. There could be many more than that. But the thing is, maybe it's just all one. To think that out of all those people, there's 144,000 servants. Now, does that mean that's everyone who's going to be saved? No, I don't see that at all. These are the servants of God. This is his, like, hardcore elite, so to speak. Those who have been sealed and prepared for his purpose, they must be sealed.